Oh, well, well, how you doing? That's Freddie Hubbard on trumpet with his classic Crisis. It's from his 1961 album, Ready for Freddie. Also featuring Bernard McKinney on euphonium, Wayne Shorter on tenor sax, McCoy Tyner on piano, Art Davis on double bass, and Elvin Jones, one of the great Jones brothers, on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And, well, we're going to take a slight respite from the madness of President Chaos. And we'll talk about a different kind of developing madness, and we'll see where this kind of madness goes. Recently elected Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez and Bernie Sanders, the independent senator and former presidential candidate from Vermont, with a very animated campaign-style fanfare, yesterday launched a series of rallies aimed at shoring up the Democratic Party's political fortunes, building grassroots support for a wide-ranging progressive agenda, and resisting the policies of President Donald Trump and his administration. The first two rallies were held in Maine and Kentucky. Others will follow in Florida, Nebraska, Utah, Montana, Arizona, and Nevada. So, of course, we couldn't let such an august occasion take place without trying to discuss what the significance of it was and what should we expect, both good and bad. As you know, we've been discussing the role of Bernie Sanders with respect to the Democratic Party, and more particularly with respect to this movement that his candidacy had spawned, people feeling the burn. And Sanders had amassed a rather impressive following, which morphed into a movement. But then it seemed as if, with his cooperation and leadership, the movement was swallowed up by the Democratic Party and possibly taking Sanders along with it. So once this Democratic Party announced a change in leadership with the election of Tom Perez, a Clinton slash Obama administration byproduct, we see now in the start of Donald Trump's tenure in office, we see that the Democratic Party has begun to understand that it lost big. It fell down on the job. It basically lost more than 900 seats across the country. It lost, of course, the presidency. It lost, a whole bunch of governorships across the country. And it lost big in Congress as well. So the Democratic Party was badly bruised, but it has sworn to revive itself and to revive the fight. Let's take a listen to what Perez and Sanders said, respectively, in their various two states yesterday. And we'll come back and talk about whither goeth the Democratic Party, but more importantly, whither goeth Brother Sanders.
Wonderful Congresswoman Shelley Pingree. Thank you, Shelley. And let's give it up in advance for our next speaker, Bernie Sanders. I am so excited, folks. I am so excited to be on this tour with Senator Sanders. We're going all across the country to talk about our values, to talk about our unity, to talk about the road ahead. And I'll tell you, folks, we got a lot of work to do, folks. There's no doubt about it. But we have been getting a lot of work done thanks to you in this audience. You are the movement. You are indeed the movement. And that is why I'm so excited to be here. Now, I got asked a number of times, why did you choose Maine as your first stop? And you know what, folks? Here's one of the reasons. We wanted to choose a state where all of the movement members had experience working with a bully. And with your governor, you got a heck of a lot of experience working with a bully. So you can teach us. We need to turn the page on LePage, I'll tell you, my friends. And we need to turn LePage soon. Of all the mean-spirited things I've seen governors do and presidents, in my top five list, in addition to his refusal to expand Medicaid, which the voters will correct in the next election, I'm confident of that. In my top five list will always be his refusal to arm the police with the life-saving tool of Narcan. Anybody. The opioid epidemic does not discriminate. It's in every zip code. It's touched communities everywhere. It's touched people very, very near and dear to me. And when you have a governor who says that Narcan doesn't save lives, it postpones death, that's unconscionable. And thank you, Janet Mills, for stepping up to the plate as your Attorney General. Thank you for what you're doing, Attorney General. That's why I love coming to Maine. Because you've got so many progressive leaders here. And you know what, folks? You're going to have more progressive leaders because next year you will have a Democrat in District 2 to help Shelley in Washington. I have no doubt about it. And you'll have a Democrat, a progressive, in your governorship in Augusta. That's what we will do. And we'll fight like hell with you. Because the mission of the new DNC is not simply to elect the President of the United States. It is to elect Democrats from the school board to the Senate. And you know what, folks? We're going to take over the state Senate here in Maine next year when we get one more vote. That's what we're going to do. You know, we're almost 100 days into this administration on some levels for me, and I'm sure for you, and most importantly for people who have felt the brunt. It seems like 100 years. Chaos and carnage. When I heard him talk about carnage day one, I thought, you sure as hell have no standing to talk about carnage, pal, because you're causing carnage day in and day out, and we see it everywhere. Literally, hours into his administration, he made it harder for first-time home buyers to buy a home by reversing executive action from the Obama administration. Days later, he set in motion efforts to make it harder to save for retirement. How many of y'all got a 401k or an IRA? If you do, he's making it harder for you to save. And by the way, if you don't, he's making it harder for you to get one. Because he's not giving you a fair wage. And so this is what we saw early on. This is what we see from this chaos and carnage president. We just saw the confirmation of a Supreme Court justice who wants to eviscerate collective bargaining. Collective bargaining is what brought us the middle class in America. Collective bargaining, when the labor movement succeeds, America succeeds. That's what I learned growing up in Buffalo, New York. And you've got a hell of a labor movement here in Maine. And this justice is poised to go after that. Because you know what, folks? His record demonstrates a consistent pattern of ruling for large corporations over ordinary people. That's what this president nominated. This president has targeted immigrants and torn apart families. Imagine if you were that person, that little boy or little girl who got dropped off at school in Los Angeles, only to see your parent, literally within your eyesight, stopped by ICE for deportation. That is not who we are as a nation, my friends. Our diversity is our greatest strength as a nation. It's something to embrace, not something to fear. That's what we see from this administration. Let me give you news off the presses. This is tonight's executive order. I kid you not. It is called Buy American, Hire American. It's an executive order that's to be released tonight, directing that people buy American and hire American. Well, maybe you could start with your own damn businesses. Because you know what, folks? You know, over 50 pallets. I spent a little time on the West Coast ports. You know, a pallet is a big-ass piece of equipment that holds a lot of clothing. That's a term of art. Big-ass piece of equipment. And you know what, folks? What this does, over 50 pallets just from Ivanka's businesses come from China and Singapore since about the first of the year. Those aren't by American. Those are made in China. Those are made in Singapore. The wall that he wants to build is going to have a garage door because all the products he makes in Mexico are going to have to drive through it. You know that? And I haven't seen this executive order, but I'm rather confident, my friends, that if you turn it over, you'll see the inscription made in China on the back of the executive order. Because you know what, folks? He talks a mean game, but he doesn't walk the walk. He talked to the leader of China just recently. He could have talked about all the jobs that have been lost to the dumping of steel by the Chinese government. Tens of thousands of good middle-class jobs that were lost. Did he raise that? Hell no. He had a sock in his mouth. Mr. Negotiator, if he was on the Celebrity Apprentice, he would have been kicked off by now. This is the president who declared with vigor on the campaign trail, on day one, I shall declare China a currency manipulator. That's what I shall do on day one. And you know what, folks? Last week, you know what he did last week? He told China, you're not a currency manipulator, and we're not going to do it. So that's what he did, my friends. That's the first 100 days. And you know what, folks? I'll tell you something about the first 100 days. The most remarkable thing was not anything Donald Trump did. The most remarkable thing is what you all did across this country, here in Maine, and across America. Because you know what, folks? January 20th was an important day. But January 21st was far more important. Millions of Americans, led by women, came out and said, Donald Trump, you do not stand for our values. Donald Trump, you did not win this election. You did not win the popular vote. And Donald Trump, we will continue to resist. Said when he said the arc of the moral universe is long, but it indeed bends toward justice. My friends, it doesn't bend on its own. Let's bend it together, and let's bend it with Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont. I bring to you Senator Bernie Sanders. Let me begin by thanking the band Relic for their great music. Thanking Crit Llewellyn and Allison Grimes and Sandy Overly and Kyle Henderson and John Yarmuth and Austin, Jamie Harrison, Chairman Tom Perez. Thank you all for being here tonight. Thank you. You live in one of the most beautiful states in this country, and I've had the opportunity to be here on a number of occasions. And today, when I think about Kentucky, a couple of thoughts come to mind. Number one, I think back to the Woody Guthrie song that focused on Harlan County in the 1930s and the very, very bitter strike that took place in the coal mines. And Woody Guthrie wrote a song which is as relevant today as it was back in the 30s in Harlan County. And that song said, "Which side are you on?" And our job is to make it clear that we are on the side of the working families of this country and that we are prepared to take on the billionaire class, Wall Street, corporate America, the insurance companies, and the drug companies. We know which side we are on. And the other thought that I had this morning as we came to Louisville is that you were the home of one of the most popular and one of the greatest Americans in modern history, Muhammad Ali. And when I hear all of the Islamophobia and all of the attacks on Muslims, let's tell every American that Muhammad Ali was a proud Muslim. Tonight, I want to talk about a very, very radical concept. Are you ready for a radical concept? All right. Here it is. It's called democracy. And what democracy is really about, to quote a good Republican, Abe Lincoln, it's about government of the people, by the people, for the people. And what that means today is that we demand a government which represents all of us, not just the 1%.
We demand a government which represents working people and not just wealthy campaign contributors. Now, sometimes the media, because they have nothing else to do, they kind of make politics very, very complicated, and they're all full of political gossip and all kinds of stuff that nobody outside of the Beltway is interested in. This is what politics is about, and it's not really hard. What politics is about in a democratic society is that we come together, as we are this evening, and we say, what are the problems facing our country? What are the causes of those problems? How do we go forward by resolving those problems? That's about it. That's called democracy. It's not stupid 30-second ads. It's not people attacking each other all over the place. That's what it's about. But in order to be honest and to be truthful to the democratic process, we have got to have the courage to look our problems in the eye and not sweep them under the rug. We have got to ask ourselves a very simple question, which you will not see on television. How does it happen that at a time of exploding technology, when every worker in this room, in this state, in this country is producing a lot more than he or she would have been producing 20 or 30 years ago, why is it that over the last 40 years, the middle class of this country is shrinking? Why is it that we have 43 million people living in poverty and sometimes desperate poverty, struggling to put food on the table for the children? Why does it happen that with the middle class shrinking and so many living in poverty, 52% of all new income generated today is going to the top 1%? Why does it happen that in America today we have more wealth and income inequality than any other major country? How does it happen that the top 1/10 of 1%, not 1%, 1/10 of 1% now owns almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%? How does it happen that the 20 wealthiest people, 20 people right here, own, well, not quite right here, I suspect, but the 20 wealthiest people in this country now own more wealth than the bottom half of the American people? How does it happen that one family, the Walton family of Walmart's, own as much wealth as the bottom 42% of the American people? One family. And by the way, might I say with regard to the Waltons, we hear a whole lot of Republican attacks on people who are on welfare. Do you know which family is the major welfare recipient in America today? It is the Walton family, the wealthiest family in this country. Because they pay their workers wages that are so low that people cannot live on, many workers at Walmart are on Medicaid, they are on food stamps, they are in affordable housing that you are paying for. So I say tonight to the Walton family, the wealthiest family in America, get off of welfare, pay your workers a living wage.
Well, just heard a little bit of the two key speakers yesterday in two different cities, actually. We had Tom Perez speaking in Maine and Bernie Sanders speaking in Louisville, Kentucky. And yesterday was the formal launching of this new campaign that they are spearheading together. Others, I'm sure, along the way will appear. It is called Come Together and Fight Back. So now we've listened, we've heard the thunderous applause for Bernie Sanders. We've seen the new head of the Democratic Party, in fact, acting as the person introducing Bernie Sanders to very enthusiastic applause. What does that mean? And what does this new arrangement, is this a signal by Bernie Sanders that he's all in with the Democratic Party? Does this mean that we could expect the Democratic Party to draft Bernie Sanders as a major, major spokesman and possible candidate under the Democratic Party banner? What does this mean for the movement that had begun during the 2016 election to support Bernie Sanders' independent candidacy? He is, after all, an independent. He still insists that he is, despite the fact that he caucuses with the Democratic Party. But we are encouraged to believe that there is something happening here that will draw Bernie Sanders and his movement, which kind of fizzled and which he put under, if you will, he brought in under the roof of the Democratic Party. Are we to expect that there will be an even more vigorous romance and all hopes of Sanders being an independent candidate are pretty much dead? So let's hear from you what you think. What did you hear in all of this? And it's, you know, it was, they touched on very important points. They touched on the current administration, the Trump administration, and the predictions actually having come true about Trump and the direction that he's taking the country and the economy, etc. But it's basic. We've heard these things before, but we are being encouraged now to pay attention to a coming together of different political forces, political ideologies, if you will, a fusion occurring. This is what this whole thing is supposed to communicate to us, that there is a movement being reborn, a movement underfoot to galvanize wide public support and participation in massive resistance. But is that all? Your calls at 888-874-4888. From what you just heard, and there are many more speeches to come in different cities, as I said at the top of the program, from the Democratic Party leader and Sanders. And this is their roadshow. They are essentially publicly presenting not just their ideas, but they are challenging people who might have been disaffected or who do not see any way of supporting just the Democratic Party. If it were left to that, they wouldn't get involved. They're so disaffected. They were also disappointed with Bernie Sanders and the fizzling of that movement. But now that both Sanders and Perez are taking the initiative to indicate it is separate from this your personal ideology. There is much more to gain by coming together and forming a new momentum politically, a new vision politically, because Trump is such a disaster and must be defeated. Peter from New York, what do you think? What did you hear?
Hi, Eutrice. Well, Tom Perez, I just basically heard him attacking Trump, but I didn't really hear him say anything about what the Democrats stand for. And on the other hand, Bernie Sanders was still saying promising things about what we could be, various ways that we could hopefully recover from this oligarchy that we are immersed in and submerged by at this point. But I think it's very curious that Bernie Sanders would agree to a tour with Tom Perez. It's mystifying to me as to what he thinks he's going to get out of that.
Well, you heard what he was thinking he would get out of that, and that is incredibly overwhelming and positive reaction. And he will presumably transfer all of this goodwill and all of this very positive reaction to a Democratic agenda of some sort.
Well, the Democrats have never treated their progressives very kindly. They've always found one way or another to defeat them, you know. And certainly the primaries that we just went through is just so obvious. It was massive corruption and election fraud on the part of the Democrats in the primary. So I am kind of mystified as to why Bernie still believes that. I guess he believes that he'd stand a better chance remaining as a pseudo-Democrat than striking out on his own to establish a new party, as some of his former employees advocated.
And if that is, in fact, how you read it, what, therefore, does it encourage you to believe? Therefore, is your reaction to a scenario like that?
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to see Hillary pop up in the equation again. I would hope that she would not run again, but there's certainly no guarantees from the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party is really showing itself to be totally manipulative in playing this Russian card. It's just totally off the wall. I mean, blaming the Russians for all sorts of things, and when it's becoming more and more obvious that the U.S. military has been involved in Syria because they want to put a pipeline through there, and the whole thing about the moderate rebels and so on—that's becoming increasingly questionable. And so, the fact that we have Turkey as one of our major allies in the region, and Turkey is a center for training for the terrorists.
So you don't see yourself yet. You're not buying the message yet.
I thought that Bernie, I had great hopes with Bernie, and this country is so seriously controlled by the corporations and the oil and gas and the military industries that it's hard to gain any purchase or any leverage. It's hard to believe that we have leverage over this pseudo-democratic system here.
You started us off today, and I thank you for contributing your thoughts. Thank you, Peter. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the a PRN family. I hope all is well. You know, there really is no message. The Democrats really have no message. If you listen to all of the points that Tom Perez and even Sanders was talking about, it was against what Trump is doing, but they're not saying what they are going to do. So Perez begins to talk about the fact that they were opposing Narcan. And I remember back in the cocaine and the crack epidemic of the 70s and 80s when people were calling African-American women crackheads. Nobody was talking in benevolent and empathetic terms about, well, you know, this is a disease and we need to be helpful and we need to have a strategy to counteract that. And when he talks about all of the goods that that Ivanka has coming in, made in China, people need to remember that China was emboldened because of the Nixon policy that Nixon employed when they wanted to make certain that Russia did not challenge them as a leader. So they went to China. So now they've made China a superpower, and they have a problem with that. You know, Sanders, after they dogged Sanders, I mean, really dogged him, and you have to wonder about his mental health, because, you know, when somebody dogs you, you really take that personally, and you don't decide that you're going to capitulate and play ball with the people who dogged you. You notice nobody's concerned about the fact that during Hillary's primary contest, they called him a democratic socialist as if that was something that he should be ashamed of. Now everybody's embracing Bernie. But you know what? Bernie's playing ball. Mm-hmm. So I say all of that to say, you know, fool me once, shame on you. But fool me twice, shame on me.
So if I could deduce from what you've just said, you are not buying this come together and fight back thing under the umbrella and the leadership of the Democratic Party, of which I take it that you think Bernie is now a full-fledged Democrat, or is he sufficiently removed from the Democratic Party to claim his independent identity?
Bernie is not independent. You cannot be independent and play ball with the people who dogged you.
Mm-hmm. What if, in the scheme of things, this unity or this attempt at unity between Sanders and the Democratic Party, he is already volunteered to be a recruiter for the Democratic Party. What if there's a chance that something could be accomplished, and therefore it will validate what you are saying is a screwball decision?
At this point in time, I cannot identify anything that can be accomplished in favor of the people. I can identify what can be accomplished in favor of the Democratic Party. They don't care who they pimp out to achieve their goals, and they're eminent. You know, there are over 300 millionaires in Congress, and they're not all Republicans. So whatever their goal is has nothing to do with what's in the best interest of the people. It has to do with in their best interest. And by whatever means they need to employ, by whatever strategy they need to employ, they will do it, even if it means co-opting people who have professed to have a moral arc that said, I am for you, and I operate for you and in your best interest.
Hmm. Well, all right. That was quite insightful. Thank you very much, Patricia, for your call today. Let's go to Michigan, where we are going to hear from Leona.
Greetings, Eutrice, and greetings to your audience.
Thank you, and hello to you, too.
Thank you. I'm glad you're doing better. I was sorry to hear about your accident, but glad that you're healing in a proper way. Grateful
Thank
for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much for those kind thoughts.
You're very welcome. With the Bernie Sanders piece and that you played earlier today, I found myself having a reaction that was very distasteful and exhausting. You know, the thoughts that came through my mind as I was listening to those speakers was, you know, is this a carnival show? Is this some more entertainment? They're telling me what I want to hear, or what some people want to hear. I was wondering if people were planted in the audience to shout and scream and feign excitement and all this applause. And I was tired of my emotions being grabbed and played like a piano. And I don't know that anything he said or the other guy said has anything to do with producing justice for everyday people. By justice, I'm using Neely Fuller's definition, guaranteeing that no one is mistreated and guaranteeing that the person who needs the most help gets the most constructive help. I heard him, one of the speakers, say something about Martin Luther King's quote about the moral arc of the universe, and then Bernie talks about Muhammad Ali living somewhere. I don't know.
I'm glad you picked that up, because that was just such an obvious pandering. But I'm glad you picked that up.
Yes, ma'am. And then associating democracy with Abe Lincoln, you know, I was reminded of just being dazzled with BS. And I'm just
I got to ask you, did you pay attention? Did it impress you, the reaction of the crowd to Bernie Sanders and the reaction of the crowd to the Democratic leader who was acting as a, you know, the MC? I am introducing,
exactly.
I had the party, and I'm introducing,
right.
I'm introducing Bernie Sanders, and then the crowd goes crazy. A lot
right.
of extremely excited reaction. What did that signal to you?
Well, that's what reminded, well, to me, that's what reminded me of the rock concert. You know, he's the pre-act, and here's the rock star. And it reminded me of the format of rock concerts or musical concerts, and the people just all in, so excited, and the playing on the emotions, you know, with the music, and you know, it seemed like a, I don't know if the word is psyop operation, but there's definitely some psychological mechanisms at work, and I felt manipulated myself, and it was exhausting. And I don't know how to defend myself from these psychological attacks, because they can be quite draining, because when the rubber hits the road and when you look at the results, not too much has changed. Not too much. It's just a nice entertainment. Nice entertainment, you know, but people are suffering as we speak. Innocent people are suffering.
What do you think of Patricia's observation that both speakers, Tom Perez and Bernie Sanders, they got incredible reaction and everything like that, but in the meantime, they did not articulate exactly what the vision is, that they are hoping people would come together to fight back for and support?
Well, to my mind, that wasn't the purpose. The purpose was not to articulate a vision. The purpose was to pacify the people, I guess, make them excited, tell them what they want to hear, tell them how wonderful they are, and keep this unjust system moving right along. Keep this system in place.
But who clearly, I mean, Bernie Sanders is at the moment the most popular elected official, according to recent polls. So he is quite an asset. And it is interesting that he has agreed to participate in this way. Do you think he's seeing something that we're not seeing, that we have deep feelings about the fact that, you know, his movement, which had such great promise, was actually scuttled by the Democratic Party, and with apparently no hard feelings by Sanders, he goes back to the Democratic Party and lists himself as a, you know, a kind of a PR guy to recruit more people to build and rebuild this party, and therefore lend the sum total of everything gained as, you know, a separate political part, separate political movement, to just say, okay, I'm going to be on board, because on a pragmatic level, there is more to be gained going this route than to start all over again. What do you say?
Well, I say that, I guess, based on that behavior, you know, Bernie Sanders, you know, maybe they're holding some of his family members hostage, or he's just game. He's just part of the system. Like Neely Fuller says, if under the system of racism, white supremacy, if a person classified as white is able to be a white supremacist, they probably are. So he supports the system of racism, white supremacy. That's all I could say. And he's not the only one. I'm trying to find ways to disengage myself and not support this system of racism, white supremacy. And part of that process is, you know, changing my behavior on a daily basis. And like I said earlier, I got to find a way to not get so emotionally drained by this stuff they're doing, because it's a big it's an assault.
It takes a toll. It really does take a toll. Thank you very much, Leona. Good to hear from you. Gwen from New York City, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm not having such a fantastic day. Hurt my back, but I have to take issue with some of the comments made today, because first, I was a huge Bernie supporter. I was completely out there, made my own signs. My husband and I campaigned in the projects in Camden, the projects in the South Bronx, the projects in New York, the projects in Connecticut. We took the message right to the African-American population. My husband was also African-American. So, of course, with Hillary's campaign, we did not want to support that. We didn't want to support children that were being called, forget the name. Sorry, I'm doing a Donald Trump right now. But there was a lot of very thorny things. Right, it's getting old. But anyway, I have to say that during this election, what was so unbelievable to me and so exciting is that people showed up. I have never, ever seen any politician where thousands of people showed up. When we went to South Bronx, every part of that park was full. And what was so exciting is this man chose the South Bronx.
There's no question that Bernie Sanders was extremely popular. The numbers show it, and the popular feeling showed it. But let's talk about what we just listened to.
But I want to say, too, Yatrice, as somebody who's run for city office to myself, is that one of the things I've noticed about him that I thought was really gracious was that as screwed as he was, basically, by the Democratic Party, he didn't hold a grudge. He didn't have a hissy fit and say, I'm playing takeaway. I'm going to pull away. I'm going to go into cynical politics. I'm going to be the cynic. He stayed with it. Now, I think that maybe the one of the reasons why he is staying with it is...
Can't you see why, Gwen? Can't you see why he would stay with it? He gets another shot. He has the advantage of affiliating with a clearly identifiable political organization. The Democratic Party has been around for a long time.
No question. There's no question about it. But let's face it. The only other political party you could associate with that's outside of the two parties is the Green Party. And that would be wonderful. But the Green Party wasn't even able to pick up a million votes during this election. I mean, it's the same
thing
that happened to me.
So this is a very pragmatic move. The idea is that if I have to do something, if I desire to do something before, you know, biology and history do me in, let me then take advantage of an opening that I see here, which is to affiliate with the Democratic Party. By the way, he is also conscious that he comes into the Democratic Party with the ability to call some shots. He's got clout.
Yeah.
He's not walking
he
in empty handed. So
no, he's not.
Here you have a party that is nationally organized. It's on the ballot in every state. He can amend somewhat his delivery and his perception and so forth to make him more accessible to and more acceptable to people who had just disregarded him as a socialist or communist nut. But now he has the added advantage of taking on the, quote, respectability, unquote, of going mainstream. So there are many advantages that he could enjoy.
But I have to say, if I can just finish my point, I don't think that Bernie Sanders came into the Democratic Party to be a Democrat. I mean, he needed to be on that ticket so that he could be a serious candidate, which he was. But all the way through the whole campaign, and I have been to five of his rallies, and I have participated in the campaign, there was a huge difference. I mean, it was like a drink of water. My husband said the night before he died, Bernie was his country's last chance. And I truly believe that, because I think that what many people didn't really get was what people that went to hear him and really listened to him heard was this great kind of like a revival of Roosevelt, at least with the economic stuff. And I have to say, too, I'm getting real tired of people calling this guy a racist. Like, where does anybody get off calling a guy who goes down and marches, puts himself in harm's way? He's a good person. This is not some piece of crap white guy with a KKK hood on his head. He's a good, decent person. I just don't understand where people get that. It sounds like the audience is so cynical. Well, you know, if you're so cynical and then you don't vote, I don't know how we can change.
Let's not stray too far. Don't stray too far away from the issue at hand. Based on what we just heard, what do you suspect is, or how are you reacting to Sanders and the reception he's receiving within the Democratic Party and the population?
Well,
the general
population. This is what I think is probably happening. I think he's going to take his followers, his supporters, and he will merge them into this party. They will end up taking over the party, and his philosophy will be the one to win out. And the people that are on the ground, the supporters, are going to be the people that are pulling other people in to this point of view. So I think that's basically the game plan. I don't see the other guy as the strong man. I see Bernie, first of all, I'm sorry, one other point I wanted to make is when the Democrats spit on him during the primary and he came out, without being bitter, he wasn't happy, but he also came out as such a gentleman. He gained even more respect from other people. So he comes to the table with a lot of respect. What I want to say, going to coattails of one of your other guests, and say that I have seen him in person after the election, and I couldn't believe all these sappy Democrats that were trying to, you know, get on his coattails. I mean, Bill de Blasio basically helped throw the whole election in New York City. But he couldn't wait to stand next to this guy who actually had the cojones to come out and be a man, challenge the system over and over again, and just stay steady during the storm. But after it was all over, people all over the place wanted to be his best friend. And I can't really forgive those that overthrew that election.
Yeah, but you're going back there. We're talking about where we are now and the immediate future. Thank you so much, Gwen, for calling today and contributing. Thank you. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
All right. Very good.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. I just got off a speakerphone, and I listened to the piece that you played. And the way I look at it is, that's nice. Bernie went over some of the deficits in dealing with this capitalist system that enriches the rich and in income and wealth. At that point, I don't know if you'd cut it off or he just didn't get to it. To me, it would be important to tell people what the things are that most of the people here would want to improve in terms of health care, in terms of income inequality, in terms of improving Social Security, and all the things that would benefit the people that live in this country, and what we could do about those things to improve the whole situation for people and having a real democracy rather than the oligarchy that we have right now that enriches the rich and makes everybody poor. So I would go down a long laundry list of things that could be done to make this a happier place, like it is for some people who live in Norway, Iceland, or Denmark, or Switzerland. So that's what I think about what was said.
I think the purpose of this whole exercise is a rollout. It's a rollout. And it is to just get people familiar with the idea and comfortable with the idea and adjusted to the idea of Bernie Sanders is a Democrat for all intents and purposes, and that the Democratic Party, which is in desperate need of reconstruction, is, you know, sounding the alarm that they're ready to take on the fight. And here is one of our most lethal weapons. Here is Bernie Sanders. And we will hear more and more and more about it. But this is just a rollout to get people used to the idea and to accept the idea.
I think that's good. But you also have to let people be exposed to the possibilities that can happen if the people get themselves together. You got to be redundant about it. You got to drive those things home so people get those things in their head, that Social Security is not dead, it can be improved, that the health condition of the people can be improved, the income, the wealth divide can be corrected with a good tax system. You see,
I think that will come later. I think these arguments will come later. Don't forget, the Democratic Party has been seriously beaten and in a state of disarray. So Sanders coming along gives them a sense of comfort that at least the party is getting its act together. It's getting ready to do something big. And Bernie's there, which will add to the political base, the party is hoping. But it is to just get people familiar with the idea and at ease with the idea that the Democratic Party is on the way back and they're ready to fight, and they have within their midst one of the most popular politicians today in the country, and he's with them. So we'll see. Thanks a lot for your call today. That brings us to the end of our program today. And of course, we'll continue watching this. But when these things happen, it's important to pay attention to the symbolism of the moment. It gives us a clue as to where the party is going, where individuals, high-profile individuals like Sanders, like Tom Perez, and others are going to be going. But more importantly, they made a statement that they're ready to take on a fight, and they are combining that with the effort to rebuild this badly bruised party. Stay tuned. Coming up next, the NDC Savings Club. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. As always, a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.